This is Edwin Ariabe. Edwin has a story like Rocky, an epic, against all odds story worth retelling. He's the founder and owner of Skyline Security and Skyline Smart Energy, both privately owned, debt-free companies that did approximately $200 million in revenue last year.
So that when you accomplish it, people will know it was so far beyond your own capacity that God's hand had to be in it. See, I'm a firm believer that the dreams that God places in your heart, He doesn't place them there so you can accomplish them. He places them there to bring you closer to Him so that you can accomplish them together.
But how did the shy kid that grew up in poverty with parents in and out of prison conquer his limiting beliefs and go on to build businesses worth hundreds of millions of dollars? Let's dive deeper into Edwin's story and find out. Edwin Ariabe, it's awesome to be sitting here with you today. Thank you so much for letting us come here and meet you in your home, and I'm excited about hearing your story.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I heard your story on Irwin McManus podcast.
Yes.
Is it Man in the Arena, or what's that podcast called?
It's called The Arena.
You got the award, the Man in the Arena award, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The podcast is called Mindshift.
Mindshift, that's right. That's right. Man, that was such an incredible story. When I heard that, I literally went back and listened to it. I probably listened to it 3 or 4 times.
Well, that's awesome.
And I was like, I got to reach out to this guy, because my channel is about telling stories about people overcoming limiting beliefs, people dealing with adversity like you did, and doing things that are great. Like, you've built these amazing companies. But I really want to dive in and let you tell your story. And I know there's people out there that are watching this that are back in the place where you started with this, that are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life. They have big dreams, they have big goals, and they're trying to figure out how to get there. And let's talk about your story, and then we'll dive into that stuff.
Yeah, so I was born in Bogota, Colombia.
Okay.
My parents, sister, and I came to the U.S. when I was 6 years old in search of that American dream. However, that American dream quickly became an American nightmare, because 2 weeks after coming to the U.S., our home gets raided by law enforcement. That day, both of our parents ended up in jail, and my sister and I ended up in a foster home. And 8 months later, my parents get acquitted of all charges, so now they're back with us. We were reunited. We're thinking this nightmare is over. However, again, it was just beginning, because every year after that, our home would get raided by law enforcement. That went on for about 4 years. The reason that went on as long as it did is because they were looking for my dad, and my dad would, you know, fly out of the country, spend 6 months out, come back, and then the heat would come again, he'd leave. Anyway, 4 years later, they finally were able to arrest him, and this time they were able to put him away for a pretty long time. And the cops were nice enough to allow me to speak to him before he left. And he just basically said, son, I need you to become the man of the house. Mm. And at this point, I had 2 other siblings, had a brother and sister that were 2 and 3 years old, I believe, at the time. And, you know, my dad was my hero, and he still is my hero. And I told him, I promised him that I would. Mm. So I kept that promise close to me. And dad did leave us some money. So we were okay for about 2 years. But then we ran out of money. And then that's how we ended up in Southeast LA. It's in a city called Huntington Park. And we were okay at first. We got a 3-bedroom apartment, which was a nice apartment in Huntington Park. But then we ran out of money again. And then we had to rent out 2 of the bedrooms in the 3-bedroom apartment. So now my siblings, mother and I, were living in this tiny little bedroom without any windows. Mm. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And then 15 years old, I get the chance to work, or I become old enough to start looking for a job. So I start searching. No one would hire me. Finally, I ran into this opportunity, which was working at a call center selling long distance over the phone, which was not a very ideal type of job, because I was so shy and I was so timid that, of course, I didn't want to do it. But I quickly got the courage to do this job I did not want to do, just out of my desperation and want to help my family out, because I was tired of seeing my mom not be able to pay for the rent at the end of the month. I was tired of us running out of food, because we were on food stamps. I was tired of, again, my siblings, mother and I live in this tiny little bedroom without any windows. And finally, I was just tired of roaches waking me up in the middle of the night. So really the avoidance of pain is what caused me to take action towards, you know, something that really demanded more than I thought I was worth. And it's interesting because when you think about what causes you to take action, it's either the pleasure of where you're going, which I call it touching the dream, which has always been a huge part of my success, is I've always touched the dream before I had it. But the other part is the avoidance of pain. So they're both. For me, if I had to choose one, it was more the avoidance of pain, because I didn't want to see my family going through what we were going through. Now, even though I was a very shy and I was a very timid kid, I had two things going for me. Number one, I was a big dreamer. Like when my mom would go and clean offices, I'd stay home by myself because I was on vacation. I remember spending the entire day just visualizing how one day I was gonna make $100,000 by the age of 21 years old. I didn't know how I was gonna do it. I just knew that I was gonna figure it out. And I gave myself that target of 21 years old. By 21 years old, you're gonna make $100,000. And then the other thing I had going for myself was my mom would always pray for me every morning, every night. And she always told me how I had greatness in me and how I was gonna do great things. And one day I was gonna be a great testimony for God. And I was gonna talk and praise him for all the blessings that he's given me. So I started to believe at a young age that God was with me. So I wasn't scared to take on things that demanded more than I thought I was worth, because even though it seemed crazy, I was like, well, God's with me, we'll figure it out. I'll do my thing and then he'll do his thing. And then I focused. So now I'm 15 years old, I get this job at a call center. And I say to myself, I'm like, okay, if I'm gonna become the manager, if I'm gonna make $100,000 at the age of 21, I guess I gotta become the manager by 18 years old. Again, just using common sense, right? And I gave myself a target, right? It's important to give yourself a target and a time frame of when you're gonna do something by, because if you don't, you just keep procrastinating, right? So at that point, I focused on the only two things that I could focus on, which was my attitude. That's where the faith came in, right? That's where, you know, positive mental attitude came in, right? I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but we're gonna figure it out. And then I focused on activity. And I took on this mindset of an overachiever. Just because I didn't really feel like I had much talent, I thought to myself, I'm gonna outwork you, I'm gonna outproduce you, I'm gonna outlearn you, and I'm gonna outlast you. And then I just started, again, running large numbers. I was gonna make more phone calls than you. I was gonna go to more leadership development classes at the time, because the company that I was with, that call center, they would give us an hour of training of just mindset courses. And I got obsessed with just doing all the boring stuff mm-hmm. that most people did not want to do. And a lot of that was just like showing up every day. I'd show up Monday through Saturday. I wouldn't miss. Most of the people that had way more talent than I did and just had seniority over me, they never showed up on Saturdays. They thought because they were doing so well, they didn't have to show up on Saturdays. They wouldn't do the role playing stuff. So we were supposed to role play for like 30 minutes mm-hmm. before we would get on the phones. They'd show up 5 minutes before, 5 minutes late. I was always showing up, you know, 30 minutes before, and I would do the role playing. I'd do the leadership development stuff. Those guys would miss it. So again, that's like all the boring stuff that people kind of took for granted. I was doing all that stuff, and that started to build a discipline in me, right? And you know, when you're good with the small things, you'll be good with the big things. And whatever you do repetitively, you will respond reflexively under pressure, right? That's why habits matter, because under pressure, your habits will come out. And I got used to like working hard. I got used to the discipline. And that helped tremendously. And, you know, the work comes before the belief. You don't believe something in your heart until you experience it. And the only way you'll ever experience it is by taking enough attempts, which is the work. And then if you take enough attempts, you're going to get results. And then when you get the results, your belief level goes through the roof. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me. At 18 years old, I became the youngest manager in company history. And that was a big part of my, I think that was a big moment in my life because it was the first time that I truly began to believe in myself. And other than, because I believe that the number one thing that I think you need to succeed is it all starts with hope. Hope is your purpose. Hope is your dreams. Hope is something that you're looking forward to. And no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you should always have hope, right? Because you're looking, that means you have something you're looking forward to. If you don't have hope, you have despair. So for me, hope is the desire to want to do something great with your life. That was me, that's step one. Because if you don't want to do something great with your life, why would you do it, right? Like, why would you want to step into uncertainty if you don't want to do something great with your life? Right. So that's step one. And step two is the faith, right? For me, I'm a follower of Christ, so that's always given me confidence. If you're not into that, you could look at it as just positive mental attitude, right? 90% of winning is just being positive, right? Being able to turn a negative and turn it into a positive. You know, when I look at faith, it's faith and fear. They both haven't happened yet. Faith is the projection of the most positive thing for the future. Fear is the projection of the worst possible thing for the future. So whether you like it or not, you're faith-based. Mm-hmm. The question is, are you going to go positive or are you going to go negative, right? So that's the attitude that we talked about, right? That activity and attitude, right? And then the third step is you got to be able to believe in yourself, right? And the reason you got to be able to believe in yourself is because you can only receive what your mind can accept. If your mind can't accept something, it's just never going to get it, right? That's why in life you will always experience that which you are deeply convinced with. So if you're convinced with poverty, that's exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get poverty. So then the question then becomes, well, how do I build my self-worth? How do I build my identity? And number one is you got to put yourself in a circumstance that demands more than you think you're worth. And then when you succeed at it, then your self-worth goes to a different level. But if you really look at what that means, if something demands more than you think you're worth, that probably means it's going to scare you. That probably means it's going to be very uncomfortable. And that probably means you're not going to want to do it. So the problem is most people don't step into that uncertainty because they let the fear paralyze them. Mm-hmm. So they don't even try it. But the problem is you don't believe something in your heart until you experience it. Mm-hmm. So until you experience it, you really won't believe it. You can talk about it all you want. Until you experience it, you won't believe it. And the only way you could ever experience it is by stepping into the uncertainty. And then you're either going to make it or you're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. More often than not, you'll make it if you go all in on it. And then that new belief level comes out. And now everything, belief drives everything. Mm-hmm. It's all about belief and it's all about eliminating the doubt. And most people get stuck being average because they never gave themselves a shot to step into the uncertainty. So for me, if your dream is big enough, see, your dream has got to be so audacious so that when you accomplish it, people will know it was so far beyond your own capacity that God's hand had to be in it.
Yeah.
See, I'm a firm believer that God, the dreams that God places in your heart, he doesn't place them there so you can accomplish them. He places them there to bring you closer to him so that you can accomplish them together. This is why I think that accomplishing your dreams is one of the biggest validations that you could ever have about your faith. You know, if you, and that's why it's so crippling to give up on your dreams, because if you give up on your dreams, there's a part of you that'll never get as close to faith as you would have by accomplishing
them. So true.
So now you have the big dream, so big that you have to tap into faith, because you're like, man, I can't do this by myself, right? Mm-hmm. I got to tap into faith. And then that allows you to step into the uncertainty, right? Because the dream, if the dream isn't big enough, why would you want to step into uncertainty?
Sure.
Right? But if the dream is big enough, like, the dream's got to be bigger than any excuse that you can give yourself.
Right.
The dream, the purpose, has to be big enough to fight off your mind when your mind's trying to tell you the task is too big, right? The purpose has to be big enough to fight off your body when it tells you, man, I can't go on, right? But if your purpose is big enough, your mind, your body won't matter. Because at that point, your will, the spirit will take over, and it'll tell your body and mind that it can go on, right? So, you know, again, so believing in yourself is huge. But again, you have to put yourself in that circumstance that demands more than you think you're worth. And then once you succeed at it, your belief level goes through the roof. And then obviously the second part is association. You are who you associate with. And when you start associating yourself with people that are doing better than you, I think the number one thing that comes out, no one really says this, but I've seen it over and over, is you start realizing that those people that are doing better than you, they're not that much more special than you, right?
True.
You start to realize, wait, these are normal people. They have the same problems I have. I'm just as good as them. Maybe I should be worth that kind of money, right? So that's the beauty about association, right? But then, but the other thing too is when you start associating with successful people and you start to take their practices that have made them successful and you start to apply them, your mind begins to accept, man, I'm doing everything Josiah just told me about real estate investment. Mm-hmm. And I know he's freaking successful with it. I'm doing exactly what he's doing, so I should be successful. And now your mind begins to accept that it does deserve more, and because it feels that way, it will get more. So that's why associations are so key. And, you know, some people might be listening to this and saying, man, I don't have any friends that are successful, right? But that's where personal development comes in, because personal development allows you to study very successful people, and you start taking their experiences, you start applying them, you'll manifest who they are.
So let me ask you a question. When you were at the point where you wanted to make $100,000 a year, you probably didn't, I mean, you didn't know nearly as many successful people as you do now, of course, but you went on to become the youngest manager at 18. Who did you surround yourself with? How did you address that limiting belief you had about what you could do with your life, what you were worth?
Yeah.
You know, because there's lots of people, they're prisoners to their own belief of what they're worth and what they can do. And to your point, all you got to do is believe that you're capable of more. There's comparables out there, to use a real estate term, of people that are similar to you that are doing more.
Right.
How do you get yourself out of that mindset where you're locked in to low self-worth, to that I can do more, I can be great?
Right. Well, the only successful person I knew at the time was making 100 grand a year. And he was dating my sister at the time, and he sold cars.
Okay.
So I thought to myself, okay, worst comes to worst, I'm gonna go sell cars, but I'm gonna make 100 grand a year no matter what. And I became obsessed with that number because it represented me being able to keep the promise I made to my dad and taking care of my mom. See, I think the how is the killer of all dreams. I've never worried about the how. I think most people are worried about the what, the when, the where, the how, but not enough people are worried about the why. At that young age, I just cared about the why. And the how, if I would have thought about the how, I would have psyched myself out, man. I just said to myself, we'll figure it out. I'll focus on what I can control. Again, activity, attitude. all this other stuff that is making it seem like there's no way, making it seem like that's crazy. That's where the faith comes in. And I thought to myself, I know God will start putting the right people in front of me to make the impossible possible if I could just focus on that. All that other stuff, he's got me, right?
Yeah.
And that's all I did. And everything I've done in my life, I've never really known the how. I mean, I just started a solar company, which we'll get into that later, but I didn't know the how. If I would have thought of the how, I would have psyched myself out. I don't even know how to change a tire. And here I am starting a construction company. Like, what makes me think that I could start a construction company when I don't even know how to change a tire? But it wasn't about the how, it was about the why. So for me, the why was I need to take care of my mom. I need to take care of my dad so that when he gets out of prison, he'll never have to get into that industry that landed him in prison. And I have to take care of my siblings. I made a promise to my dad that I was gonna take care of my siblings. So, and I also had these huge dreams. So then it was common sense. Like, I need at least $100,000 a year to sort of be able to make that happen. Yeah. I'll figure out how to make $100,000. And, you know, that was my why. Your why is typically the dreams that God places in your heart or other people. If you live for yourself, you can settle for less. But if you live for others, it'll require all of who you are. And for me, at a very young age, it was always about other people. It was about my family. But then I also had these huge dreams that I wanted to get. So that was really what made me step into that uncertainty. But, you know, as I think back to that, again, moment and how important that moment was, is I believe we all have this unlimited potential, right? I think God gives us unlimited potential, especially if we're created in his image, right? That said, your potential is limited to where you're at today. So, for example, at 15 years old, did I dream of having the life that I have today? 100%. Like, it's exactly what I visualized, right? Now, did I believe it at the time? Of course not. But every level I got to, that belief got stronger. So at 16 years old, I became a supervisor. So that unlocked a new level of belief. Like, whoa, I'm a supervisor. Well, shoot, maybe I could become a manager by 18 years old. Then I become the manager at 18 years old. Whoa, that unlocks a new level of belief. My mind begins to accept that maybe you are good. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are worth $100,000 a year because you're 18, you're already making 60. You're already making 50. I don't see no other 18-year-old making that kind of money at that time where I grew up. So maybe you could make $100,000 a year. And then sure enough, when I became the youngest manager in company history, I became the right hand of the VP of sales. So him and I started associating pretty daily. He was making $250,000 a year. So now I began to accept, well, wait a minute, maybe I'm just as good as him because I'm doing everything he's teaching me, right? Sure enough, 3 years later, he comes into my office. He says, Edwin, I'm going to start this home security company. He says, look, I can't guarantee you. He says, I'm going to start this home security company. I'm going to resign, and I want you to come with me and help me build it. He says, I can't guarantee you the $70,000 a year that you're making here, but if you make this work, you can possibly double, triple, quadruple what you make here. And one thing I can tell you, Josiah, you don't have to be that smart to make six, seven figures a year. I'm an example of that. I graduated with a 1.8 GPA. But I am a firm believer that you need common sense and you need drive. And I've always had common sense. I think that's a blessing that I got. I've had great wisdom even at a young age. And then the other two things that you also need is you need an opportunity that allows you to make that money, right? Like, how do you make six? How do you make seven? How do you make eight figures a year? Well, number one rule, as simple as this sounds, is you got to find an opportunity that even allows you to make that kind of money.
True.
Because if you're currently in an opportunity that doesn't allow you to make that kind of money, then how are you supposed to make the kind of money you want? So that's step one. Step two, which is the harder one, is you got to find someone who has done it before, who has a vested interest in your success, that's gonna help you do it. Now, that's the hardest part, because most people that have that kind of success a lot of times don't have time for you, and they're not going to show you step by step how to do it. But if you find that person, then you got a pretty good chance. The only reason you wouldn't make it is if you just don't work hard. And for me, that's kind of the way I saw it. I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's making 250 grand a year. He's resigning because he thinks he could make millions in this industry that is untapped. Number two, I thought, this guy's willing to mentor me how to start a company from the ground up. I'm like, it's a mentorship I've been looking for all my life. And then the last thing was, I knew that I was this big dreamer. You know, I would ditch school my senior year, and I don't know why, I'd always go to Rodeo Drive and in Hollywood Hills, and I was always visualized how one day I was gonna end up living in Hollywood Hills and Beverly Hills. And I'd go window shop, and I was like, whoa, look at the clothes here, man. People dress different here. I'd go eat at restaurants down there, because at that point I'm 18, 17 years old, I'm making decent money. Mm-hmm. So I started eating at nice restaurants, you know. No more Sizzler for me at 18 years old. And I was like, whoa, freaking food tastes different here. Like, this is where I belong. And that was such an important part of my life as well, touching the dream before I had what I needed, because it got me familiarized with the dream, right? It made me feel like, wait a minute, I belong there. And the minute you feel like you belong there and you familiarize yourself with the dream, your subconscious mind will find opportunities to make that dream happen. Because this is how you're gonna get to the big time. So, you know, so I had those dreams, then I had my promises I made to my parents, and I just knew that 70 grand a year wasn't gonna cut it. And the subconscious mind immediately said, this is your shot. This is your shot at the big time. So even though everybody thought I was crazy, because how are you gonna leave a job that's paying you 70 grand a year with benefits, 401k, how are you gonna do that? Especially at 21 years old, where I came from, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But again, my dreams were bigger than any of those excuses, and I took the plunge, right? And it goes back to attempting it. If you don't attempt it, you won't ever know it. And I put myself in that circumstance that demanded more than I thought I was worth, because I was scared. It wasn't like I wasn't scared. But one of the ways that you can eliminate fear is by looking at the worst case scenario and being okay with the outcome. So that's exactly what I said. I said, okay, if I fail miserably at this, I go from living in Huntington Park to maybe having to go a mile down to Watts, LA, and end up in one of those projects. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, that's not that much different from that little apartment I grew up in. But if I make this work, all my dreams are gonna happen.
Yeah.
And I took the plunge, and you know, here we are today. That's why the purpose of a goal is not necessarily to accomplish it, but to become the person that attempts it.
Sure.
And my whole life, I've just been attempting it. And every time I get a result, the belief level goes up. So now I'm 21 years old. That first year, I made about 150 grand that year.
Wow.
So I went from 70 to making 150 grand. New level of belief,
yeah,
right? And it just gets stronger. Then the next year, it was like, all right, I'm gonna go for 300 grand. And I made 350 the second year. Mm. New level of belief, right? So it's almost like a video game. Every new level untaps a new level of belief. And it all goes back to belief drives everything, right? If you can get your subconscious mind to align with what you're saying consciously, you'll create your dreams all day long.
It's amazing. I love it. So much there that will help people that are struggling with limiting beliefs, believing they can do more than they're doing, reaching that next level, unlocking those next levels, both professionally and I think personally, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to have belief in yourself. You have to believe you are capable of doing what you're going after. And really, people can say they have a goal, but deep down, do they believe that they can accomplish that goal?
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, you really have to get your mind in a place where you believe you can do it, and you believe that it will happen for you.
Wow.
And you can shortcut the process by putting yourself around people that have done it and learning from them.
Yes.
By going and touching the dream, like you said. Mm-hmm. You went, you ate at the restaurants, you're like, wow, this is where I want to be, this is where I'm going to be.
Right.
And then you made that happen. You said something a second ago that resonated with me that I have observed in my own businesses and with observing successful people and those that don't accomplish their dreams. And that is it's like 95% of your competition just won't show up consistently.
Yeah.
They just won't show up consistently. And it's because it's hard to show up consistently. Mm-hmm. It's not always convenient to show up. It's not all, everything doesn't always fall in line and you have to be determined that you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're showing up Monday through Saturday and everybody else is showing up Monday through Friday, then you've got an extra day on them.
Yeah.
And when you're doing the 30 minutes before the interview and everybody else is showing up at the time of the interview, you've got an extra 30 minutes on them. And that's the difference in a high performer and someone that's average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
it's little things.
And like you said, you don't have to be that smart. Like you can be smart, it helps, but you don't have to be that smart as long as you're committed to showing up, committed to putting in the work, to learning from those that have been successful and to not giving up on your dream and believing in yourself, mm-hmm. then you can literally accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one story that I wanted you to tell before we talk about the businesses you built.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you were trying to get that job. You were working so hard to get that job and how you got your break.
Yeah.
I believe there was someone that believed in you and gave you a chance. And I love that story.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I, again, very shy, very timid. So I went to about 16 job interviews.
This is when you were how old?
15.
Okay, 15 years old.
I just started applying everywhere. I kept getting declined everywhere.
Mm.
And finally, a buddy of mine says, hey, I found this job. They'll hire anybody. Just show up and I promise you they're going to hire you. I said, how do you know that? It's like, I've sent my last 7 friends and we've all gotten hired. I worked there and blah, 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 right? So I, of course, go and I'm thinking I'm going to get this job interview. I'm going to nail it. The problem with me is I was so shy and timid that during the interviews, I'd get nervous, so I'd start stumbling my words, and then I'd get hot, and then I'd start sweating. Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest problem. I think that's why I didn't get the opportunities. They probably thought I was on drugs or something. So I go to this call center thing, and sure enough, 2 minutes into the interview, I start sweating like crazy. And of course, I don't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just like, I don't think I've ever been as discouraged as that day. Like, I just thought to myself, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to get a job. How am I going to help my family get out of the situation that we're in? And as I'm walking back to the car, I stop by the restroom so I can wash my face off, like just clean myself up. And I just began to pray. I said, God, just give me a shot. Mm. Help me find a job. Help me on my next interview, and I promise you, if you help me and I get this job, I'll always praise your name. And sure enough, as I exit that restroom, there's a gentleman outside, and he says, hey kid, when do you start? I said, I don't start, you guys are completely full. He starts laughing, he's like, who told you that? I'm like, oh, the guy I just interviewed with. And he says, no, we're not. He says, come with me. And he takes me back to the HR director, and he says, I need you to hire this kid. I need him to start at 3 p.m. And 6 years later, that same person is the same person that helps me start the security company.
That's amazing.
And, you know, here we are $600 million later.
So he's still working with you?
No, so he got out of the industry about 4 years into it. He got into land developing.
Gotcha, okay.
And I just, you know, the industry went through a tough time. And at the time, it's just like, I'm not making the kind of money I want to make. I'm going to get into land developing. And he went into that. He did very well. And I just kind of stuck to it.
Kept rolling with it.
And but I'm a firm believer that in life, people just need a shot. They need a system. They need a leader that believes in them, that's going to be patient with them, that's going to show them how to do it. And it's why I love what I do as much as I do, is just I get to now pay it forward and give people the same opportunity that I had. And It's very fulfilling.
Yeah, I love that. I love that this guy saw something in you and wanted to give you a shot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so, I think it's so easy to, without realizing you're doing it, to make an assumption about someone that may not be true, right?
Well,
your job interview, this guy that interviewed you had a chance to hire you. You wanted the job, you were gonna put in the work. He didn't know you were gonna put in more work than everybody else.
Yeah.
And you were nervous or whatever, and you didn't get the shot, you know, from him. Mm-hmm. This other guy saw something in you and wanted to give you a shot. And I think that's an important thing to remember when we're dealing with people we don't know. It's mm-hmm. like, give somebody a chance, get to know them. Don't make assumptions mm-hmm. early about someone and what they're capable of. So let's talk about these companies you built, Skyline Security and Skyline Solar. So Skyline Security was the first company you were referring to. Tell me about that business and what that's doing now.
Yeah, so I started that back in 1999.
Okay.
This will be 25 years come February 12th, I believe. And that's a home security company, smart home security. If you ever heard of Brinks, we're their biggest distributor in the US. We do about 45 to 50,000 installs a year, every year. And that's been a gradual growth, right? The first 10 years that I did it, I kind of ran it like a small mom and pop type shop. And then in 2009, I just started thinking bigger. And I started dreaming bigger. And I started focusing on growing it. And you know you're committed to something when your money's behind it. And the first 10 years, I invested in the salespeople, but I never invested back into the operations. So in 2009 was the first year that I started to focus and invest back into the operations. I brought in a CFO that year, paid 150 grand for that, which is scary because it's the first time I paid somebody that kind of salary, right? 150 grand. And then I went from 8 office employees to about 50. And now I was committed because I'm like, I just spent 500, I'm investing 500 grand into the business this year. Now at that point I was making about $1.2 million. So worst case scenario, I'm still gonna make 500 grand that year, right? But I did invest 500 grand, but now that pressure situation that I put myself in actually increased my urgency level. Mm. And urgency is very important. I also call it a necessity level. And the definition of that for me, it's a sudden willingness that untaps this tremendous amount of ability that you did not know you possessed. But it only comes out when you put yourself in these pressure situations. Mm-hmm. See, I'm a big believer that if you have low stress, you're gonna have low performance. Mm-hmm. But if you can put yourself in these pressure situations, it'll start to increase your urgency level. Now, the disclaimer to that is if you're not used to keeping the promises that you make to yourself, you will fold under pressure. But if you're a person that's used to keeping the promises that they make to themselves, then you're going to do very well under pressure. And if you want to be a high-paid entrepreneur, you better know how to deal with pressure. Mm-hmm. You better know how to deal with stress. You know, one of my managers when I was 16 told me, Edwin, the more pressure, the more stress you can handle, the more money you're gonna make.
Mm.
And that stuck to me.
Yeah, that's really good.
Right? And so when I put myself in the situation, I was like, whoa, now I gotta go get salespeople to come work with us because I've already invested. Again, I took action before I had what I needed, I had what I wanted, right? And I remember I did the same thing when I first started the company. You know, we would go selling door to door. And I remember you needed a minivan. So the idea was you get the minivan because you would fill it up with 10 people and then you'd go sell. Well, I bought the minivan before I had the people. But that increased my urgency level to go fill it up now because I'm like, man, I'm 21 years old. What the hell am I doing with the minivan?
Yeah.
That's the last car I want to be driving. If I bought this minivan, I'm going to fill it up. And that created an urgency in me to go fill it up. What most people do is they'll wait to buy the minivan once the people come.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get complacent because of it, right? And that's what I mean about you know you're committed to something when your money's behind it. Yeah. Once you put your money behind it, now that urgency level picks up because you're like, man, I don't want to lose this money. I just invested. So anyways, that was 09. And then sure enough, that was my breakthrough year where we went from, you know, being kind of a mom and pop type shop to mid type business. And then we started growing from there. We grew gradually. And now, you know, company's 25 years old. In the last 25 years, like I said, we've done $600 million, and we're on pace now, which is the exciting part, to do in what took me 25 years, we're going to do in 2 to 3 years. And while we do it, I want to create the most 6, 7, 8-figure-a-year earners that our industry has ever created. And that's a part of being able to pay it forward, right? And the reason I could do that is because I own 100% of the company. It's debt-free. I don't have anyone telling me, hey, you're paying people too much. And I've already done pretty well for myself the last 25 years, so it's easier for me to help people.
That's amazing.
Because I'm working out of abundance versus, you know, it's hard. You know, people say all the time they want to take care of people first, but if you're not taking care of yourself first, it's going to be hard for you to take care of people.
So true.
You know, so I've always taken care of people first, but now that you're under abundance, like, it's just even easier to take people to take care of people first, and that's how you're always going to win in the long run.
Yeah.
So that's the security side.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. So did I get this right? 600 million over what time?
25 years.
25 years. Okay. And over the last 2 or 3 years, what portion of that?
So we'll do what's taken us in 25 years, we'll do in 3 years. Just last year, we did over 200.
Last year, 200 million. That's insane.
So then you have it. Just kind of.
Yeah. And this is coming from someone who wanted to make 100 grand first.
Yeah.
You know?
New levels, right?
And kept breaking through these levels, right? And back when you were dreaming of making 100 grand, did you think I'll have a business making 200 million one day?
No, I dreamt it.
You dreamt, yeah.
But I didn't believe it. But as I got, you know, more successful, I guess, I've always liked challenges. Yeah. I've always liked to see, I've always looked to do hard things. And as you get more successful, you get to hang out with people that are more successful, right? And what that did for me, it just allowed me to realize, wait a minute, I'm not doing much compared to these guys. And if these guys can do it, I should be doing more. And, you know, a lot of material stuff drove me at first because I was, you know, I wanted to have big houses and things like that. I wanted to have exotic cars. But then after a while, it doesn't really drive you anymore, right? The material will drive you until it doesn't. Then the spiritual will drive you. And thing you need to know about the spiritual is it can't be filled with material things, right? So the material stuff was important because I wouldn't have pushed as hard as I did to get to those levels if I wouldn't have been going after the type of things that I wanted at the time. And, you know, now a big part of me wanting to continue to grow and do and improve is I want to show people that with the right relationship with God, anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. With God, anything is possible.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So the more successful, like, I want to be able to show, like, you could have fun.
Yeah.
You could still have an amazing life.
Yeah.
And still be a person of faith.
Yeah.
Right?
It's amazing. I love it.
So that drives me to, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, the pursuit of greatness is your biggest act of service.
I love that.
Because it gives people the hope and faith that their life can change too. And that's the beauty about changing your life, is every time you change your life, you give people hope, faith that their life can change too.
Yes, absolutely. So good. And like you said earlier, it's not about what you're going after, it's who you're becoming while you're going after that thing, right? And there's a common thread here throughout the story, which is you were trying to do it for your mom. You were trying to do it for your family. Mm-hmm. Now you're at a place where you have abundance and you've been so successful. Now you're trying to do it for the people that are working for you. You're trying to do it for the, you're trying to give back. You're trying to keep doing this. You, your why is dialed in. And this is the key with, I believe, with successful entrepreneurs. They have a why they believe in, right? Because if it's just about making money, you get to whatever amount of money it is you think you want, and then there's no more motivation, right?
You'll burn out.
Yeah. But if you've got a bigger reason to go after these things, then that's never-ending fuel for your fire, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk real quick about the new business you've built and what that's doing now, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
So the new business is the solar business. Okay. We started that 2 years ago out of necessity, right? We had lost 25% of our sales force to solar because at the time it was the new shiny toy that everybody wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. So they kept recruiting my guys. So I remember going to my director of finance and saying, look, we need to start a solar company or we're going to get eaten alive. And I told them, just like I've done all my life, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll figure it out. Yeah. I said, you start researching what you need to do, what we need to do to get this company started. I'll go get us the salespeople. Mm. And that's what we did. And we came out 2023 on Inc. 5,000 fastest growing companies as number 20.
Amazing.
Which we've never been up that high. Even Skyline Security, I think the highest we ever got was 3,000. Mm. And this came in at number 20. That said, it's been very, very challenging. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun because it's challenging and it's a tough industry, especially. It wasn't when we first started, but the last year it's gotten really tough just because of regulations and stuff.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to happen because nothing easy ever lasts.
Mm.
And I mean, you know, real estate, it was similar. When I got in it, it was like real estate back in 2004, mm-hmm. where just everyone was making a ton of money.
Yeah.
And then last year in 2023, it got really hard. Mm-hmm. And then mass exodus, which I loved.
Yeah.
That's why I love hard things.
Yeah.
If I had a choice, do I want things so easy that everybody and their mothers is doing it?
Right.
Or do I want it a little harder and not everybody can do it? I like the hard stuff.
Yeah.
And I knew that eventually it was going to get hard. And I said, if we could just weather the storm, when it gets easy again and people try to come back, they can't compete.
Yeah.
And you know, same thing with the security business, right? It's, you got to understand that there's going to be cycles and every industry is going to have its high and then it's going to have its low.
Sure.
But it's really when you have your lows that you really get to, if you're willing to go through the pain, willing to go through the struggle, is really when you're going to have your biggest gains, is during that time. Because when everybody exits and you fight through it,
yeah,
when it gets well again, you're so ahead of the game that the people trying to come back now, they can't touch you.
Yeah.
But it goes back to being able to stand in the pain of something, right?
Yes.
I think the three biggest skill sets that I think you need to be to sustain success for a very long time, I think are grit, fortitude, and resiliency. Now, you have to build those things. And the only way you could build them is by standing in the pain and pushing through it. What happens with most people is as soon as pain comes, they run away. Well, if they run away, they're never building the muscles that they need to sustain success for a long time, because life and pain are inseparable and life's always gonna punch you in the face. You know, people think that as you get more successful, things get easier. They get a lot harder. You just become better, right? And you've become better because you're not running away from pain. You're not running away from pressure. Again, we talked about the more pressure you can take on, the more money you're gonna make. Mm. But most people, when pressure comes, they run away. And that's why you don't want things to be too easy, because if things are too easy, you'll never build the muscles that you need when things get harder.
Right.
Right. And now an obstacle that looks really big for someone, if you actually stood in the pain and built those muscles, you'll actually realize that obstacle is really small.
Mm. I love that.
Right. But you got to be able to stand in the pain. And again, whatever you do repetitively, you will respond reflexively under pressure. And that's why good habits matter, because under pressure, what's your character under pressure, right? Sure. Under pressure, you know, are you going to work harder or are you going to run away? Under pressure, are you going to have, you know, perseverance to weather the storm, right? Are you going to have the discipline to be good with the small things under pressure, right? Because when everything's going great, sure, anybody can have discipline,
yeah,
right? And things are going well, but what about when things are tough?
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. So, and then the last one, though, that I do want to talk about is integrity and the importance of integrity.
Okay.
That's probably the most important thing that you need for success, I believe, in that when I talk about integrity, I'm not talking about keeping the promises you make to other people. That should be a given.
Sure.
Right? The one where most people fail at is keeping the promises that they make to themselves. See, self-confidence comes from the keeping the promises that you make to yourself, right? If belief drives everything, then the most important thing you need is keeping the promises you make to yourself so you can have confidence, because yeah, that's where confidence comes from. And the reason that's so is because your brain is made out of different parts. You got your conscious mind, your subconscious mind. What people don't understand is that your subconscious mind is way more powerful than your conscious mind.
Yes.
Meaning, consciously, you might say, I'm going to be the top sales guy in this whole company this year. I'm going to finally go to the gym at the beginning of the year, and I'm finally going to get fit the way I want to get, the way I've always wanted to get fit. And that's the correct thing to do, because step one is hope. It's declaring, this is what I want, right? I'm going to do this. That's a declaration. It's great. Yeah. The problem is that's your conscious mind saying it. The subconscious mind typically doesn't believe you. And the reason it doesn't believe you, it's because it's got a history of you never coming through with the promises that you've given yourself. So because it doesn't want to see you get hurt, it'll start to make up excuses in your head on making you self-sabotage that goal that you're going towards. So what happens is you're on your way there. It's gonna happen. And then all of a sudden you start making the dumbest decisions to now get you derailed. Mm-hmm. I see it all the time. And that's really your subconscious mind giving you all these ideas to get derailed, because it doesn't believe that you could actually be worth what you're going towards. Mm. And then all of a sudden you self-sabotage, right? And it's this cycle that you're like, man, every time I'm gonna do something big, I'm on my way, it's happening. And then all of a sudden I do something stupid. I go to a bad relationship that I had, or whatever it is, right? So the way to beat that is, from now on, you just keep the promises that you make to yourself. And every time you do, you get a win under your belt. Mm-hmm. And every win increases your subconscious mind. And if you can get your subconscious mind to align with what you're saying consciously, you'll literally be able to speak things into existence. Mm-hmm. So again, if we're created in God's image and God is about truth, then why shouldn't we be able to speak things into existence if we're about truth?
Yeah.
Right? And the idea of integrity is it's in all areas of your life. Because you could have integrity when it comes to business. You could keep the promises you make to yourself in business, but are you doing it in fitness?
Yeah.
Are you doing it with the family? You might be about truth and fitness or in business, but you might not be about truth and family, because in the family side, you're doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing, right? So the idea is it's in different areas of your life, and there, no one's perfect.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a challenge.
I love that.
And that's why we need God in our, right? Because if we were perfect, we wouldn't need him.
I love that. I love what you said about God is a creator. He created us. Then we can create, you know, we're made in his image. And it's so true. Having integrity, keeping the promises you've made to yourself, is such a big part of accomplishing your goals.
Yeah.
If you set a goal and you say, I'm going to do this, are you committed enough to go after that and make that happen? Are you going to take the steps to make that happen? Go through the pain, embrace the pain to make that happen. Because it's easy to make goals. It's easy to make promises, but keeping the promises and reaching the goals are the challenging part.
Yeah.
This has been incredible.
Yeah.
I wanted to give you something to thank you for having taking the time out to have me over here and interview you. I know you and your son are big Rams fans.
Oh, sweet.
I got that for your son.
He's going to be fired up.
I thought he would
enjoy that so much.
But I'm into this signed Matt Stafford card. So
he's going to love this.
Yeah. So anyway,
thank you so much.
Yeah. Anyway, I've really enjoyed this. I really appreciate you having me over. And
I think
people are going to get a lot of value out of this. Thanks for sharing your story so much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me, Josiah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Right.